Hello and welcome once again. This is Mike Moody, and we're happy to be with you and encouraged in the Lord to open His Word today in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. As we turn there, let's bow for a moment in a word of prayer. Our dear Lord and Father in heaven, we thank You for Your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Your dear love, who has always done Thy perfect will. Father, we thank You that He is our Savior. Father, that He is propitiation for our sins, and not our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. We pray, Father, for any listening that have not received this truth, that You may burden their heart, show them their need of a Savior. Father, we thank You for us that are saved, that we realize He is the head of the church. May we willfully apply this in our lives today. We thank You in His wonderful name, asking for help today from on high. In Christ's name, amen. We see in our text of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 a rather important section, a section that perhaps, as in any generation, is very needful, and it's certainly no different today. We see in this chapter 4, we noted before in verse 1, that he says, furthermore, which is also can be translated finally, or as to the rest. So as he has spoken in the first three chapters about the beginning and the testimony and the development of this assembly, he's now dealing with specific exhortations to how they, the believers there of the Thessalonians, and as well by the Spirit of God for you and me in the same church age, the same dispensation as they were in. This is what we are in, the age of grace, the church age. We also, by these words, are exhorted that if the Lord is coming at any time, may we examine how are we living today in view of that return. So furthermore, he says, and we consider that the exhortation of verse 1 and 2 is that we should know how we, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that we should be exhorted and charged to walk in a way pleasing to Him. So let us consider verse 3. He mentions the will of God. How many times have you wondered or even heard others say, you know, what's the will of God? How can I know the will of God in my life? The Lord surely have before you and me at different times in our lives things that we would have to be prayerful about, things that we would look at the Word of God and say, well, we know the principles of the Word of God and the instructions of the Word of God, and perhaps we would just have to look at the Word of God and say, well, as long as this thing that we're considering and looking at is not contrary to the Word of God, we would just ask the Lord to give us leading and guidance by His Spirit, whether we should go a certain direction or not. Perhaps if it's time to consider a job transfer, you're asking the Lord, is it Your will for me to move, for my family to move, or should I take this particular job, or should I do this type of thing? We may not have a specific verse to tell us to do it. As long as there these things that we consider are not things that would be going against the flow of Scripture and specific principles of Scripture. For example, we know it's not God's will to go rob a bank. We know the Scripture deals with stealing and things very simply. So we know that's not God's will. We don't have to pray about that. But when it comes to the will of God in a very general and even specific way, we know that the Word of God is the will of God. So whether it's something that we fear, just wondering about, well, the Lord, what do you want me to do in this case? We search the scriptures. We find out if what we're looking at is consistent with His Word. There are certain things that He may give us a certain amount of liberty with. The Bible tells us there are things such as in Romans 14, there's Christian liberty as long as it's not dealing with specific sin, as long as we're not as well sinning against our own conscience or stumbling another brother. There are certain things, for example, he uses the point of whether we eat meat or not in Romans 14. You know, we need to examine these things in the light of the Word of God. So the Word of God is the answer to what is God's will in my life. There are certain things He tells us that we are to do. And if we don't do them, well then, we're out of God's will because we're ignoring the instructions of the Word of God. So, if you want to know the will of God in your life, examine, study, and meditate on His Word. Pray. And so, as we consider these things, we have a specific mention of the will of God. Verse 3 of chapter 4, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, your holiness, that ye should abstain from fornication. What is fornication? Well, we see that this, of course, is sexual activity outside of God's appointed way of one man and one woman. And so as we see the other term used often, adultery, is infidelity within the marriage bond. And yet fornication goes, in one sense, beyond that. There are various ways of illicit sexual contact that's in the Word of God. And so we're to flee fornication. The Old Testament would give very specific details about these things. And yet in the New Testament, you may find it very interesting that the word fornication is used very, very many times, but primarily as an exhortation to believers. For the believers to flee. You see, we're to flee fornication. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Yes, fornication is mentioned in light of unbelievers as well. There are times in the New Testament where it would speak in a very strong way in Romans chapter 1 when it's speaking of things such as homosexuality and many sins that are mentioned there at the end of Romans 1 about those that had not retained God in their knowledge and they'd been given over to a reprobate mind. And God speaks very strongly about sin. And yet then there's also in Galatians 5 when it's talking about the works of the flesh and about those that practice these particular works of the flesh, such as fornication, if this is a continual practice, then it's evidence of someone that will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's evidence of someone who's not truly saved. It's evidence of those that are living in the flesh, those that are in the ways of the world. And so, yes, fornication is brought up in the New Testament as connecting the lost. But as I mentioned, it may be very surprising to you that most of the times you find the word fornication is dealing with the believer. The book of 1 Corinthians is very helpful in this. If we go back to 1 Corinthians and go to chapter 5, perhaps we can just look at some of these references briefly. In chapter 5, Paul is dealing there. Of course, the book of 1 Corinthians is talking about various issues that needed to be corrected. There were things, as it were, corrective ministry that Paul was dealing with these saints there at Corinth. And in chapter 5, it says in verse 1, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as it is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, in that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. You see, the saints there didn't take it as a big deal. They weren't willing to deal with this sin, and Paul had to write them and say, look, this is the kind of thing that's not even mentioned out in the world so much. This should not happen. And so, fornication. This chapter is dealt with, and Paul says, you know, if they're called a brother and they're going to be a fornicator, down in verse 11, a railer, a drunkard, covetous, extortioner, don't eat with them. If they won't repent of it, put them out, because he says you can't go outside the world. You can't stop being around the fornicators of this world, that is the lost. He says, but if they call themselves a brother and they want to live in sin, they're not to have fellowship with you, because they're marring the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, we desire, if someone is in this case, the purpose for church discipline is this, not just to put them out and never know any more about them, but the desire is that they would repent. If you read 2 Corinthians, you see this is what happened, that the brother Paul exhorted the saints to receive him back, because apparently he had repented. So the point of discipline is that ones would come back and would be restored and would truly, sincerely repent of their sin. And so we see fornication as one of these sins. Over in chapter 6 of Corinthians, it mentions in verse 9, it mentions both fornication and adultery among various sins, again, as evidence of those that would not inherit the kingdom of God. But then he goes on and speaks as for you and me to realize as believers the importance of this. Corinthians 6 and 13, or rather 15, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make the members of an harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh, and he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication, every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. With this, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, with these solemn words, we pray that we would take serious to flee fornication. We thank you, Father, for your Son, the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being with us. If you have any questions or concerns, please call us at 824-5525 or write us at P.O. Box 1259, Ramsour, North Carolina, zip code 27316. Our requests for tapes are free. Join us next time at 1 o'clock with the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry.